Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I'm your host, Catherine Colleen, and today we are talking about how to revive a stalled meditation practice. Quick note before we get started, quick shout out to new listeners in Atlanta, Georgia. Very nice. Thank you for this connection. We're so happy to have you here. We are recording live in the Wisdom app. So check the show notes if you don't have the Wisdom app yet. Click on the link, download the app, follow me there, and you will know when I go live so you can join me anytime. And the rules are that you can pop in at any moment. So don't wait for me to finish my thoughts. I'll be talking about how to revive your stalled meditation practice today. And at any point, something resonates with you, click that Be My Guest button and join in and let's talk about your experiences with this. So this all came about. There was a 5 Bullet Friday newsletter from Tim Ferriss, who I adore, who is very cool, and he sort of mentioned in passing, really like nonchalantly, in this newsletter that his meditation practice had, quote, diminishing returns lately, and that he had started trying doing some other things instead, and what he was sharing were the other things that he had started trying out, that he had kind of abandoned his meditation routine. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's tragic. And now trying new things is always a great idea. But what really stuck with me there is how his meditation practice had just stalled out. And now this was something that I'd seen coming for a while. So I decided to write up some thoughts about it. And talk about those here today as well. So it's a pretty common issue that you're enjoying your meditation practice, and for a long while it gives you good results, and then at some point, maybe it doesn't, right? It does for a while. There's progress for a while. Interesting things are happening. You're getting more control of the monkey mind, as the Buddhists call it, and you're enjoying it. And then at some point, it's just not giving you the kind of progress that you were looking for. And that's what I call being stalled out in your meditation practice. So at some point, you get those diminishing returns, and then it's not very interesting. So then you don't do it as much. And then eventually, maybe you don't do it at all. So, why does that happen? And secondarily, what do you do about it? So I've got the solutions here for you today. If you're listening live as we record this and you want to jump in, just click the Be My Guest button at any point and join me. I adore hearing your perspective and what you have to share about this topic as well. So let's talk about why your meditation practice stalls out to begin with. I call it the workout effect. So when you first decide to start working out, you can try lots of different types of workouts. Most people do try a few different things. And eventually, you sort of find a workout that you like. And for a while, it's your new favorite workout routine, and it gives you great results. And the results keep you interested. And the being interested keeps you consistent. So life is good. You're interested, you're consistent, you're getting results, everything's great. But imagine if you sort of lift the same amount of weight using the same set of moves every time you do a workout. If you do exactly the same thing every time for your workout, your physical workout, well, it will work well for a while, but eventually your workouts will produce those diminishing returns that Tim Ferriss was referring to in his newsletter back earlier. So meditation is a workout for the mind. And that's the greatest way to think about it, the most effective way I've seen to think about meditation. It's a workout for the mind. So if you do the same style of meditation over and over, you will see results at first, and then eventually diminishing returns. That is, you won't be making as much progress with every time you sit with the silence. So you know your body is meant to evolve to heavier, more complex, or faster capabilities and workouts, and so is your mind. So, as an example, Tim Ferriss was, since we're picking on Tim today, was a fan of transcendental meditation. Transcendental meditation is incredibly popular with men in particular, in terms of a first style of meditation to approach. And transcendental meditation is a particular school of what I would call mantra meditation. You pay to go and learn on site, typically. That may have changed with everything in the last couple of years, but you pay and you are given a mantra. So this is how transcendental meditation specifically works, this style of mantra meditation. So you pay quite a lot, actually, and the concept is because you paid a lot of money, you'll keep with it. And that tends to work actually for a lot of people. And they give you a mantra. And you're not allowed to tell anybody what your mantra is. It actually could be the same for everyone, but nobody will ever know. So they give you a mantra. A mantra is just a word or a set of words or even a set of syllables. And you say it to yourself in your head. You can say it out loud or you can just say it in your own mind silently. And you say it over and over and over and over and over. And you just repeat the mantra. And the concept is with mantra meditation that you focus on repeating the word or the phrase, and that keeps the mind busy. That keeps the monkey mind busy, which is, if you can't get it to be quiet, you can at least keep it busy, right? That's the idea there. So that's what he was into. He was into transcendental meditation, this mantra-based meditation that he had studied for. And that's a great place to begin. It's a, you know, mantras are a fantastic style of meditation if you're a beginner, because it'll get you some quick success and some quick results. And so it's brand new to meditation. Any kind of mantra-focused meditation will be a little challenging at first. Because it's actually kind of hard to keep saying the mantra. It's like it seems really easy for about the first 50 times you say it, and then it seems to, you know, it just like, oh my gosh, to actually keep going, it's harder than you think. Give it a try. But so it's a little bit challenging, but it's easy enough that you can be consistent, that you can start with, let's say, 5 minutes, or work your way up to like 10 minutes, or even start with 1 minute. It doesn't, we'll get to all that. So that works, right? But at some point, the mind becomes bored because it's no longer challenging, right? So you focus on trying to repeat your mantra, and then eventually, you get good at it, where you could sit there and repeat your mantra for quite a while, actually. So the mind isn't interested anymore, and the monkey mind starts sort of thinking in between the repetitions of the mantra, and it's no longer keeping the monkey mind busy enough to get a good effect of the meditation. So it's no longer interesting. So your consistency falters. And life distracts you, and there you are feeling like meditation doesn't do much for you anymore. Like it used to, but now it doesn't. And yet, your soul is seeking that feeling that effective meditation used to give you. But this is why you end up there, right? So, what's the answer? What can you do? The answer is to treat it like a workout and up your game. So, your meditation practice, just like your physical workouts, is meant to evolve. It's not meant to be the same all the time, for at least not for very long durations. It's meant to evolve. There is a natural evolutionary process to your meditation practice based on what you focus on during the practice. So let me explain this. It actually goes the same for everybody. It progresses exactly the same way for every human on the face of the earth. So, and you can sort of chop it up into beginner style and intermediate and more advanced, challenging styles of meditation. But keep this in mind, for every single type of meditation that you might try, And if you start to explore it, it just seems like there's thousands out there. Not really. There's really only about seven. There's just different flavors of the same seven. But the big idea is you focus the mind on something. Why? To keep the mind busy so that the mind won't chatter away, right? Ultimately, you're trying to silence the mind. And you can do that by either keeping it busy on sort of one-pointed focus, or we'll get to some more advanced stuff later, right? But why are we trying to get the monkey mind to shut up? Because there are more interesting things that want to talk to you beyond the monkey mind, right? The monkey mind is just your neocortex, your thinking mind. So there's really only kind of seven categories. But you want to approach them in the right order. And the other mistake that I see people make in their meditation practice is starting too hard or too heavy or too long at the beginning. So let's talk about what progression should look like when we think of meditation as a workout. Let's take a look at how you might progress through different forms of meditation. And so this is how I'm going to kind of chop them up. So the first type that you might consider would be mindfulness. And that in mindfulness, I'm going to make this very broad. Mindfulness is when you focus the mind on the room around you or the situation around you, and you're being mindful of this moment right now in this space. And yeah, that's a beginner thing. That doesn't mean it's easy, but it's a great place to start. You're focused on your external world, this room you're sitting in, this space you're sitting in, what's going on in it right now in this moment. And it's a fantastic place to start because it forces you into the current moment. We spend so much time in the past or in the future that just bringing ourselves into the moment is a great workout, a great practice on its own for the mind. So, mindfulness, you're being aware of and really getting into the detail of this moment, this place you're in right now, and what's going on right now. So, you're focused on your external situation, the entire external situation, everything in the room, right? All the people in the space. Everything that's going right now in this moment, that's mindfulness. And that's a great place to start. That's actually the easiest place to start. So if you can do that for even a few minutes, you'll see great results. But of course, after some period of time, and that could look like weeks, or it could look like months, or it could look like years, you've got to up your game. So the next place you would go is to focus on one object. Just one object. So instead of focusing on everything in the room, we're just focusing on a single object in the room, like a candle or a mandala, or it can even just be like a chair that you look at. Like, hey, that's a really great chair. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter at all. It has to be interesting enough that you want to stare at it for a while. Maybe something that you find is beautiful. Or fascinating. It could be simple or it could be complex, but it doesn't matter. That you pick an object and you focus on the object like it's the most fascinating thing you've ever seen in your life. And you hold your focus on that object as you sort of study it intently. So it's like mindfulness, but it's mindfulness of just one thing. But notice that you're still focusing outside of yourself. So those are your sort of first two levels there. When that gets boring, or when you get really good at that, when you can do that for like half an hour, it's time to up your game again. And the next level to go to would be sort of ambient sounds or music, so auditory input. And again, you're focusing the mind on the sound. Some people like to focus on music. If you're a musician, you already know why this doesn't work. Because if you're a musician, and I have this problem, if you hear a piece of music, you automatically start dissecting it and saying, oh, I see what they did there with that bass line. I see what they did there with that drum. I see what they did there with that. You start picking it apart, going, oh, I like that. Yeah, I'd like to use, something like that. And so the monkey mind just goes crazy picking apart the music and thinking about the next piece of music that you want to make. So sometimes a different kind of sound is more useful. Something, and you can challenge yourself. You can start with ambient nature sounds like a rainstorm or birds in a forest. And there are all kinds of cool apps for that. So I'm a big fan of the free version of the Calm app because you can just sort of dial up sounds and different scenes like that to do your meditation by, to do a timed meditation. So you can focus on ambient sounds. And then you could work your way up to, even in the sound category of meditation, you can work your way up to focusing on a single, much more mundane sound like a bell or a chime, something pleasant, a pleasant bell or a chime that goes off every 60 seconds. See the difference? You've got this silent space in between each time the bell or the chime goes off. So the next thing that you can take a look at is if to kind of graduate up from ambient sounds are words, phrases, or mantras. And again, mantra is just a word for any word or phrase or set of syllables. I don't care what it is a mantra. You can make your own. And I really encourage people to make mantras that mean something to you. So you could take one word, right? So a lot of people will just take the word Om, which technically should be pronounced like more like AUM, Aum. You can do the Kundalini version, which is more like ONG, Ong, and do that over day. You can take a phrase in English or in whatever language you particularly enjoy. Have a favorite new language you're learning, make a mantra in your favorite new language. It doesn't matter. But it should be something that's meaningful to you. That's the trick, right? So a mantra that doesn't mean anything to you, it may help keep your mind busy for a little while, but it's the meaning in the words that actually help keep your mind busy. So, I could take a nonsense phrase that I'm just going to make up, peanut butter ramen noodles. Oh, that sounds nasty. I don't really like that at all. And maybe the repulsive nature of the phrase I just came up with might actually keep my mind busy, but it might also be kind of distracting. Let me put some other random words together. Chair, flower, moon. I could sit there and repeat that over and over again if I wanted to. Chair, flower, moon. Chair, flower, moon. But then at some point, my brain might be like, this makes no freaking sense. Why am I doing this? So it helps more to have a mantra that means something to you, right? And so you can think back to why are you meditating? What are you looking for? What do you want out of this practice? What is the goal, right? When you go and you do a physical workout, there's some reason why you're working out, right? You have a goal in mind, I hope. So it may be, well, I just want to be kind of strong and healthy. That's a great goal. So for meditation, it just might be, I just want to find peace. I just want to be more peaceful. I want to be more chill. I just want to be more calm and not as reactive in different situations. Or I want to connect with divine spirituality. I want to connect with source. I want to have conversations with God. You can have all kinds of different goals, and your goals will morph and evolve and change over the time too. So pick a mantra that means something. If you're trying to affect change in your life, or you're trying to reprogram your brain, if you find that you have some limiting beliefs and you're trying to reprogram your mind, this is a great opportunity to do it. So if you're having an issue, let's say with unworthiness, you might decide that your mantra for this med today's meditation is going to be, all beings are worthy. I am worthy. All beings are worthy. I am worthy. and repeat it over and over and over. It's effectively self-brainwashing, and it works beautifully. So pick a mantra that means something to you, in whatever language means something to you, and that will be the most effective. So what we've seen so far is the first four, which most people get some form of exposure to in the West. So that was mindfulness. That's where you focus on the entire, everything that's going on in this moment. Focusing on a single object. Focusing on a sound or a piece of music. Or focusing on a word or a phrase. And again, notice how all four of these are sort of external to you. And the sound, focusing on a sound, starts to bring it more internal, right? Because sound isn't anything until it hits our eardrums. And so it's happening a little bit more in your head. And words are happening a little bit more in your head. But then you're even going to get bored with that. And again, it could take weeks, it could take months, it could take years. So the next step to really up your game, if you've been there and done that on all of those four, is somatic or body focused meditation. So in somatic meditation, is anything focused in the body, in the physical body. So this might be where you focus on the feeling of taking a breath, how the air rushes in and comes down the throat into the lungs, how the chest expands when you take the breath, the feeling of the chest contracting and the air flowing back out through your body. So you get in the physical sensation of the breath, where you're feeling it in the body, how it moves through the body, or the heartbeat. You can focus on the beat of the heart. You can do a body scan where you start at the top of your head or the bottom of your feet. Either way, start at one end and ask yourself, what am I feeling? The physical sensations in the body, at the top of the head, in the eyes, in the ears, in the throat, in the chest, in the arms, in the hands, and the fingers, and the toes, and the legs, right? Kind of work your way down. But so it's this focus on physical sensation. Now, within that category of somatic meditation, you can take that up a notch. There are different little sub-degrees of all of these. And you can be focusing on sort of journeying visually through the interior organs and the spine and the bones. And you can imagine different bones. It's like especially the vertebrae breathing in as you breathe in and breathing out as you breathe out. And somatic can get very detailed. And so that's why I would put that, some somatic meditation I would put in kind of an intermediate category, and some I would put in a advanced category, depending on what exactly you're focusing on. And when that even becomes too easy, then the next step is to focus on energy. Energy movement in the body. So we are physical matter and energy, right? Einstein was right. And so all the astrophysicists out there will agree there is energy and there is matter. It's also information, recent discovery, but that's a story for another time. So there's energy and matter in the body here, right? So your next step is to focus on energy. There are different energy centers like the chakras. Some people will do a chakra meditation where they focus on the different chakras of the body, but they're focusing physically, not focusing on the energy movement that's happening there, right? Anything you choose to focus on, there are different aspects that you could choose to focus on, right? I could look at a candle and focus on the wax, or I could look at a candle and focus on the flame, right? You can meditate on the chakras, and it's really just about their physical location in the body, or you can meditate on the chakras and it's about the energy moving at that location. So energy focused meditation, again, comes in 1,000 varieties, but it's all focusing on energy. You can focus on energy in the chakras. You can focus on energy in the dantians, the lower dantian, the middle dantian, which is the heart, not the same as the heart chakra. So there's some fantastic complexity to enjoy there. And then one another dantian in the middle of the brain. You can focus on energy movement in any part of the body, in the arms and the legs and the hands and the fingers on the head, different parts of the head, different chakras that most people miss, like the mouth of God chakra at the back of the head. So there's all kinds of parts of the body where you can focus on how energy is moving and what energy feels like. And then you can actually move that outward and focus on how energy is moving in the room. And in the case of stuff, chairs and candles and beautiful mandalas and things, it's easier to look outside of yourself and harder to focus inside yourself. When it comes to energy, it's easier to focus inside yourself and harder to read the energy in the room. So that's why we start inside and then go outside. And when even the energy meditation gets boring and old hat for you, then there is the step of consciousness. Focusing the monkey mind on consciousness. And this gets really interesting. So there are three forms of consciousness simultaneously existent in the body. You have the human consciousness that's based in the neocortex. It's the thinking, it's the monkey mind, it's the logical reasoning. But if you tame it, it's a fantastic tool. But you can focus on simply feeling the consciousness, being in the state of of that human consciousness. Not thinking with that consciousness, but being, just being as that consciousness. And yes, that is every bit as advanced and hard as that sounds. And then you can play with being the subconscious, which is really, that's really a trick because the subconscious mind is based in the limbic brain, the animal brain. And so you've got the amygdala, you've got, the little piece parts in there, and the deeply embedded, the ancient brain is generally ruled by emotion, right? We generally kind of dog our subconscious consciousness because we think of it as the place where limiting beliefs are stored, right? We have these unconscious beliefs and they really mess us up. Well, sometimes you have subconscious beliefs that actually do you a lot of good, right? So it's again, it's how you use it. So you can practice being the subconscious consciousness. And then where it gets really good is moving to the back of the brain, where is housed a piece of our God consciousness or Krishna consciousness. Or universal consciousness, or whatever you want to call it. And that gets really fun. That is, for me, that is my current joy. Really, really big fun there. So to focus on that. But it takes an evolution to get to that point. It takes a practice that's a workout that's evolving over time. To a consciousness focus. And if even that gets boring, you're like, how is there another step up from there? Well, there is. There's one more step up from there, I would call it. So I guess this is an eighth category that I would call living meditation. Living meditation is when you can be eyes open, walking around in the grocery store, driving down the street without hitting anything, and be in a state of meditation existing as the God consciousness. Oof. Now that's challenging. So the last three, somatic, energy, and consciousness. Those practices break down into many varied and interesting things to try, depending on where you want to go with it and what your goals are. But overall, the answer is to up your game. If your meditation practice has stalled out, you need to make it more challenging. You need to take it up to the next level. So evolve your practice by trying a more challenging form of meditation. But you push it too far too fast, you're going to get burnout, right? So periodically, just like with your workouts, you need to revisit an earlier, easier method to keep all of your meditation muscles strong and flexible and capable. So if you do too many hardcore days in a row, you're going to burn out if you pick something that's too hard. So a well-rounded meditation practice will mix up challenging days with moderate days and easy days, right? Just like a really good workout. And so overall, you'll have this evolution forward, but you'll periodically will drop back and have an easier day, right? So even though I've practiced through all of these forms and tend to do, my hard workouts look like my hard meditation workouts look like a consciousness focused, rotating through the different forms of consciousness or even simultaneous existence that is existing as for perhaps the earth, a human being, the earth itself, and actually holding the earth, and having various effects with energy on the planet, on human consciousness, and so forth, and all that. But I find it absolutely joyous to periodically just light a candle and focus on the flame. And here's the cool thing that happens. And you may have found this with your physical workouts too. We see this a lot in the yoga world. There's certain things people will call easy poses, and other things in the yoga world we would consider harder poses. But what you find is that when you go back and you try something easier, even though you are more experienced, when you go back and you try that easier form of meditation, there's something new there for you now. So when you're first getting going and you stare at a candle and you focus on the candle, that's one kind of experience. 5 years later, when you're more versed in somatic and energy and consciousness meditation, and you go back and you just focus on a candle, like today, I'm just going to focus on a candle. This is easy workout day. There's a whole lot more in that candle flame than there was before. So it's an entirely different experience when you go back to meditating on an object. And that keeps it really interesting because you go, oh my God, this is not the same experience I had years ago when I would look at a candle. Same candle, different experience because you are more experienced with the whole thing. So that's my big recommendation. So you stall out because you did the same type of meditation over and over and over and over and over, and you never evolved it forward. So the brain got good at it, and then it got bored, and then you quit doing it. So the answer is to up your game. It's a workout. Make your workout harder. Take it up to the next level. Don't make it too hard, or you're going to burn out or hurt yourself. Yeah, that can happen. Yeah, you can. You can actually hurt yourself if you push your meditation too far, too fast. Not kidding. There's actually some percentage. Sadhguru said this the other day. There was a percentage of patients in hospitals in India who were there because of things that went wrong with meditation. Interesting. I wonder if that's true. Hope to see if we can find out the realities on that. So for someone like Tim Ferriss, who was previously using transcendental meditation, and then it came to diminishing returns, so he stopped doing it. For someone like him, I would recommend starting back to a meditation practice by having one short session focused on an object for about 15 minutes. Take it all the way back. Focus on an object for 15 minutes and see what comes up. And then the next day, try a somatic meditation of about 30 minutes using a body scan technique. So this would actually be challenging because that's harder than transcendental. And then the third day, go up to 40 to 50 minute session, focused on sort of scanning up the Dantians. This is a really hard workout. And then go back to the mantra meditation for one day, revisit it, and see what happens. And from there, it would kind of depend on how that previous sequence of workouts made you feel and what gave you the results that you were looking for. And again, this all depends on why you're doing it. What are you trying to get out of it, right? Everybody says, oh, you should meditate, you should meditate. Well, yeah, you should, because it helps with a lot of different goals. But what are your goals? There are some, nope, that's not true. I was about to say there are some goals that meditation can't help you with. That's actually not true. Dang it. Can anybody think of a single goal that meditation would not at least be useful in some way? I can't think of a single one. So no matter what your goals are in this life, there is a form of meditation that would be helpful, but I would treat it like much more like a workout, right? Like, for example, why do you work out, right? A lot of people, especially, I'll throw my own case in there. I work out, I do my physical workouts because I just want to be strong and healthy, just so I have energy, the energy and the strength to do the things I want to do, just to live life. And I want to have the energy and the strength to do whatever I want to do, even when I'm 100. So it's the same thing with meditation. I want to have the strength of mind to do whatever I want to do. Sometimes there are specific goals, but sometimes it's just I want to have the strength of my own mind and my own intention. I want to have as much ability as I can. For what? For I don't know what. For whatever comes up. For whatever life throws at me. For whatever I decide to pursue. So if you're stalled out in your meditation practice, try backing up to something easier for one day, and then ramping it up to something more challenging for a couple of days, and keep track of what it does for you. Keep track of the effects, right? You measure yourself in your physical workouts, measure yourself in your meditation workouts, just in the sense of how did it feel? What did that do for you? Did you notice any differences? And so evolving forward with breaks that get easier and with variety is the key to making sure that your meditation practice does not stall out. But if it does, this too is human. Just get back into it. Go easier for one day, then start going harder for a couple days, and just treat it just like you do your workouts. Some hard days, some easy days, some days in the middle. Plenty of variety. And of course, let me know how it goes so that I can help. So if you have any thoughts and you want to jump in here with your experiences with meditation practices, favorite types of meditations, or anything stalled out, you can click the button and join me. Would love to hear about your experiences with it. So meanwhile, while we see if anybody wants to join the guest seat, we can talk about how even at the more advanced levels of meditation, you can stall out, right? You can stall out at any level. This isn't just a thing, we're picking on Tim Ferriss with transcendental, which is mantra-based meditation, which I would put as a kind of a beginner technique. That's not being judgy. It's just sort of how hard is it? Well, it's not hard. It's a great place if you're not, if you feel uncertain about your ability to sit still for a period of time. It's a great place to go. It's a great place to start. So even at more advanced levels, when you're versed in energy, when you're versed in the dantians, when you've felt the energy flow and the interaction between dantians, when you've done simultaneous existence, consciousness, meditation, all the things, it can still stall out. Why? Because if you do the same thing too many times in a row, your mind is going to get bored and your practice is going to stall out. So, even Olympic athletes don't do exactly the same workout every day, right? They're going to have some easy days, maybe even a day off, some intermediate days and some challenging days. So then the interesting question becomes, when you've taken it as far as everything on this list, and you've done them all, and you get all the way to living meditation, and you're walking around in the world in a meditative state day after day, well, how do you move it forward if there's nothing to move it forward to? And right, and you could ask the same question of like Olympic athletes, right? If you're an Olympic level athlete, how in the world do you make your workouts faster, heavier, more challenging, day after day after day? And what we find, I think, maybe the same for both. I would love to hear from an Olympic athlete on this. I may have to go ask around. Is that life will bring you the challenge. So what happens when you get to all the way to the end of the list is you find that there's no end to the list. That when you get to that level of consciousness meditation, what you end up doing is starting to blend it all together. The living meditation, focus on consciousness, energy, body, words, sounds, object, room, everything, all at once. Wow. Now, when you get there, give me a call. I'm still working on it. So it's always, the challenge is always available to you. And besides, when you get to that point, you know that all you have to do is say, I would like a more challenging meditation, and one will be presented to you. So you don't have to worry about it. That's the good news. And take time to get there. So let's wrap this up by talking about too far, too fast. If you are used to maybe mindfulness, focusing on the room around you, and you decide you'd like to really jump in the deep end and do something focused on energy maybe, but you have never experienced energy and you have never done any energy work and you don't know anything about it, you're not going to necessarily feel what you're looking to feel. You may be, because it takes time to get used to the awareness, to become aware and practice being aware of energy moving in the body. So if you jump in too far, too soon, you're going to think, oh, this is a bunch of bull. You know, there's nothing there because you weren't ready to see it. So, so what can happen is you get completely disillusioned. Whereas if you take the progression as it should be, you approach it in the right time, you get the right effect. So let's say you're learning how to play the piano. And you've really only played like Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, but you decide that one day you're going to ramp it up and you're going to play some like Bach or something. You would try, even if you were like in it, you're like, hey, I'm ready. I'm down. Let's go. And you try. You would become disillusioned at the complexity. And you would say, you know, all right, forget the whole thing. I'm done. And then feelings of unworthiness and all kinds of just human mess gets in the way. So you don't want to go too far too fast. You want to go in the progression. So how do you know when it's time to up your game? You don't want to wait until you're bored and you stalled out. You don't want to wait that long. So when you have a type of meditation that you enjoy and you've been doing it for a while, now that could mean anything, that could mean weeks, it could be months, it could be years, but when you have one you like and you've been doing that for a while, you'll notice when it's kind of starting to get boring, right? When you've been staring at the same candle every day for some period of time and you're like, kind of getting bored with this candle. So brutal honesty with yourself is the key here. So change up the object. Right. So if you're focusing on object meditation, change the object, get a new object, see what's there. And then you'll notice that I'm kind of getting bored with objects completely. Okay, let's switch it up. Let's try sounds today and try sounds. Now, some people will say that consistency with the style of meditation, obviously, consistency in doing your meditation every day is useful. But some people will say it's critical that you maintain consistency with that particular meditation over the long haul. And I would say, no. No, it's not. What's much more important is to keep the mind challenged. And you'll know. So if you've gotten to a point that you're bored with a particular type of meditation, it means there's nothing more there for you right now. So Tim Ferriss' example means he has extracted everything he could from that type of meditation, transcendental meditation. He has pulled everything, all the insight he was going to get, he's gotten it. And that's why you see the diminishing returns. There's nothing more there. He's tapped that well dry. So it's time to evolve and move onward and try something different. Now remember, you periodically will come back to all of that. I periodically come back myself to focusing on the situation in the moment, or a particular object, or ambient sound, or a phrase or a mantra, or something in the body or energy focus, and or several of these things all at once. You're going to come back to these techniques. It's not like leave them forever. It's not like you're like, well, I was doing mantra meditation and I got bored and I will never do it again. Nah, you're all right. You'll come back to it, maybe with a different mantra, maybe in a different language. Try on some Sanskrit, see how that feels. So it's your practice. I guess this is my biggest point. It's your practice. So you have to be the one that says, I am bored with this style of meditation. Now I want something different. And go do something different. And try that and see how you like it. You want to go back to a previous form that you enjoyed? Do that. You want to change it up every day? Do that. You want to try some shorter days and some longer days? Do that. It's your practice. So, learning to guide yourself in your own practice is something that you'll pick up along the way of this whole journey. And that's an incredibly important skill to be able to guide your own practice. Now, if you have questions with any of this, I know we went over a lot today. If you have questions with any of this, just click over to katherinecolleen.com. You can send me a note. You can join the newsletter and list, and that gets you my email. You can email me your questions anytime you want. You can join me here on Wisdom and ask your questions. Anything you may need, I am here to help. It has been such a joy to offer you this today. I hope you find it helpful. Check out katherinecolleen.com for more. If you're listening to this afterwards on the podcast, check out the links in the show notes and join me here on Wisdom as I record live every now and again. You never know when I'm going to do it, so make sure you follow my profile so you know when I'm live and join me here. And as always, I'm wishing you, Purna Asati, complete connection.